Well, good morning. God bless each one of you as we're gathered in to worship again here. Greetings to you in Christ's name. It's good to be here, gathered in once again. Been good to be here. What an inspiring story, at least to me. That's a very inspiring story, the story of Ruth. I like that story a lot. A person that started out with pretty much nothing and ended up with riches, could you say, in Christ. How would I have done? How would I have fared? How do I fare with my all I have been given in compared to someone like her that had pretty much nothing, started at ground zero, would we say? It's a challenge to me. I really appreciated that. Look at that lesson. Well, moving on here this morning, I was thinking about what to share this morning, and I thought about our plans for this week. We plan to have revival meetings here, Lord willing. And you know, we do that every year, don't we? Pretty regular. About every year this time, we plan to have these meetings. We call revival meetings. Maybe you'd ask the question, well, why do we do this? Why do we have revival meetings? Do we need revival meetings? Maybe more personally, do I need revival meetings? If I need a time of revival in my life, you know, as I was thinking about that, you know, I'm pretty quick to think to myself, you know, yeah, we need revival meetings. We definitely do, because, you know, there's a lot of people I see, they need revival. They have some needs in their life. They have some areas to grow in. Sure, we need revival meetings so they can, you know, be spoken to and learn how to grow in Christ. And maybe outside of, you know, out of that, there's people we know that need the Lord. There's people that are not living right. There's people that, yeah, that we know that are making choices not for God. They're making choices for self. They need this kind of meetings. We can all think maybe down that train of thought. We can think of other people that need revival. The question I want to bring is, what about for myself? Do I need these meetings? Do I need a time of revival? Or do I think to myself that, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty well in my Christian life. Oh, I'm here with part of Cornerstone Brotherhood. It's a good place to be. Doing well. I don't really need revival in my life. You know, maybe I wouldn't say those kind of things, but is that what's going on in my mind in some form or another, that, you know, I'm okay. I'm good. It's mostly the other folks that need the revival, not me. I was thinking about some of those things, you know. Does that remind you of anyone in the Bible? Does that remind you of any group of people in the Bible? My mind goes right away to the Pharisees of Jesus' day. You know, they were satisfied with where they were. They were the righteous folks, or at least they thought. You know, they compared themselves to others. They compared themselves to the publicans. They're terrible. They're sinners. They're wrong. I'm glad I'm not like that publican. We have that Pharisee parade. They kept the law. They kept the law to the letter, to the detail. How could they be wrong? You know, we're God's chosen people. And they weren't open. They weren't open when Jesus came along and challenged them on a lot of different things, a lot of different fronts. They threw it out. They rejected it. They had it figured out. This old carpenter from Nazareth wasn't going to tell them how to do it. Wasn't going to challenge them on anything. They didn't feel the call to change or be challenged higher. And so I challenge us this morning, myself, you know, let's be sure that within myself isn't some of the same spirit. You know, that I'm part, like I said, I'm a good, solid Christian. I'm part of a good brotherhood. I'm all set. We're doing fine. Or, you know, other Pharisee-like attitudes that we could have. I believe it's a very dangerous place to be. Really do. The title this morning I have in question form, simply, do I need revival? Do I need revival? I want to think about preparing my heart personally for revival, for a time of meetings like we're planning this week. And I don't want to imply that this morning that revival meetings are the only times that God can bring about revival. I certainly believe that it's not. God can use a lot of different events, circumstances, happenings of our lives to bring about a revival, either in my heart, your heart, as individually, or all together as a group of His people. God uses many different circumstances of life to bring about revival, I believe. You know, isn't part of what within me resists the thought of myself needing revival, isn't part of that I might be called to change? You know, God might show me some part of my life that needs to change. He might lay a finger on part of my life that's not quite like it should be. His word might speak to that part of my life. You know, a lot of times we resist change. We resist that kind of change. I'm just comfortable with where things are at. I like it here. And maybe God is going to call me to something that puts me outside of my little comfortable box that I'm in, the norm. Do I need revival? I'd like to look at this in two parts. Think about that question. Do I need revival? And also, later, what are some elements of revival? And of course, by that I mean of genuine revival. For a starting verse, I'd like us to turn to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Thinking about, do I need revival? What is revival? You know, the Bible doesn't use this exact word, revival, like we use it. But it does use other words like renew or quicken, restore, and in this verse, the word revive. There's different expressions throughout the Bible that talk about what we would refer to as revival. The book of Acts, it speaks of, I don't have that verse word for word, but it speaks of times of refreshing. I found that the word quicken that is in the Old Testament, I found it comes from the exact same Hebrew word as this word revive here does. An example of that is Psalm 119, verse 154. He says, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me. Quicken me according to thy word. That word is the same as it's the same Hebrew word that revive comes from. Revive me according to thy word. Now, I think it is a little different meaning in the Greek. When you go to the New Testament, I believe the word quicken is more made alive or something like that. It's kind of related, but it's a little different meaning there, I believe. Isaiah 57:15. Let's read this verse together. 57:15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Very familiar verse. God says, I want to revive the one that is of a humble and contrite spirit. That word revive, it means about like we use it in our modern English. Keep alive, recover, repair, preserve, restore. Are some of the words that you find there in Strong's definition. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of revive, but I think about someone or something that's just about gone, just about dead and gone. To think about in times past, my working with livestock, some of you know how that is. I took care of calves for quite a number of years, and there was occasions in those years where you would come and you would find an animal, a little calf, that was in some serious trouble. It wasn't doing so well. And you had to do some things. You had to do some things like right now, or you weren't going to have that animal alive anymore. Maybe you had to give it IV or medicine, depending on the need. You brought that thing back to life pretty much. It was just about gone. Maybe you think of thinking of an ambulance crew giving someone that's critically injured some life-saving first aid, and they're able to keep that person alive, able to sustain them. You know, the word restore, is a very similar word. Maybe we don't use that as much when we're talking about living things as we do non-living things. Maybe a truck or a tractor or a building will get restored. It'll get put back to new or almost original condition. You know, it can go from being worth hardly anything, maybe about nothing, to worth a lot when it's restored. This morning, do I need revival today? What's the state of your Christian life? Is it in a like new condition? How do you think about it? It was a couple weeks back. I was looking for a set of wheels for my truck. Wanted another set of wheels for switching winter tires and summer tires, so on. So I was looking for a set, found a set of four for sale on Marketplace, and perfect. That's just what I had. What I was looking for. Didn't have a very good picture. One picture, it was just stacked up in his garage. It wasn't very good lighting. It was pretty poor quality picture. And I said, you know, hey, what condition are they in? I don't really care about the tires. I'm getting new tires anyway. What are the wheels like? And he said, oh yeah, the tires they're shot, but the wheels, yeah, they're mint condition. They're great. Now, the last I checked, that means like pretty much new, right? Nice, really, really, really nice condition. And I thought to myself, you know, wow, that's kind of remarkable. Being these, they come from an era that they're about 20 years old. It's kind of remarkable if you factor that in and factor in that they were from New York State somewhere. That's something else. And so I was pretty optimistic about that. They were in pretty good shape. Well, long story short, I bought them, picked them up, and I saw right away they weren't even close to what I would have considered men. They had a lot to be desired. They had a lot of brake dust and stains, just stuff, you know how those wheels get. Just stuff caked on there. And I scrubbed and brushed for a bit, and they still weren't, you know, there was a bit to be desired yet, but that's all right. They're okay. Well, this morning, what's the condition of your Christian life? Is it mint condition, like new? Now, that might be a difficult question or hard to decide what that is. Think about back when you gave your heart to the Lord, when your Christian life was new, okay? You gave your heart to Christ, you confessed that you were a sinner, you needed salvation, and you were free. It was great. You let that old life go of, you know, dishonesty and guilt and all the baggage that went along with that. You just let that go for a brand new life in Christ. It's amazing. Praise the Lord. And that's how you are. You're free and happy. And some of you know what this is like. You've just started this walk. And you're full of love, and you just want to live for Christ and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're on fire. Let's do this. That's great. Keep that enthusiasm. Keep that zeal. Keep that first love alive. Well, I don't know about you all, but I find for myself that life just brings some spiritual wear and tear. Is that all right if I call it that? And as I analyze my walk with the Lord at times, I see some of that. I have to say, Delbert, what is going on? You're not overflowing with praise and joy like you sometimes were. What's up with you? You haven't been spending time with God, reading His Word and prayer like you used to. And your spiritual man is showing some wear and tear because of it. Why is that? Do I need revival personally? I sure do. I sure do. You know, I find that just like wheels on a truck get tarnished and scratched and gunked up with brake dust and mud and salt and whatever else that it gets in a harsh environment. And there's lots of other illustrations that might fit better. Just like that, you know, my Christian life, it needs a lot of upkeep. It needs a lot of maintenance to keep it just as it should be, in mint condition, if you will, in the harsh spiritual environment that we're in today. I need reminders in my life. You know, I need times to just step back and analyze where I'm at. Is my commitment staying strong and true? Am I staying in tune with the Lord and other of my fellow soldiers? Am I happy in Christ and sharing the good news with those other people I know? What's the condition of my Christian life? You know, we need revival because we tend to slide. We tend to drift away from where we used to be. And those of you who have been out on the lake in a boat at all, you kind of know how that is. You know, if there's a current or there's a wind where you are and you don't have the anchor down, you're just sitting there, you start to drift. And next thing you know, if you're not paying attention, you can be a long ways away from where you thought you were parked, pretty much. And that's how it is in the spiritual. You know, Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, I believe it was, in Revelation 2. He said, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. If we don't have our anchor down in Christ, we will slowly but surely drift. And I think Brother David Nisley talked about that a bit when he was here a week or two back, a couple weeks ago. You know, there's a lot of people drifting today. And friends, this morning, you know, if we're going to use other drifting vessels to gauge where I'm at, to gauge where my own boat is, so to speak, you're going to find yourself adrift out on the wild sea with all the rest of them. And that is the gauge that many people are using today. They look around, and I'm doing pretty good. I'm over here. I'm doing okay compared to where everyone else is. Christian friend, this morning, keep your anchor in Christ. We tend to drift. We tend to get complacent. That's why we need revival. That's why I need revival. Do I need revival? You know, this morning, maybe instead of asking myself that question, should I really be asking God that question? God, what do you have for me today? God, what do you want me to learn this week? What do you want me to learn in a week of revival meetings? God, show me how you want me to go. Direct me. Show me how to be more like Jesus Christ. Bring a work of revival in my heart, to my heart. What are some elements of revival? I'd like to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles 7, verse 14. Once again, a very familiar verse. I'd like to read this one together as well. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Second Chronicles 7, 14. All together. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's a favorite verse of mine, probably for you as well. God says, if my people, which are called by my name. God's talking here to his people, to and about his people, the children of Israel. He knew they were going to stray again. He's not addressing the wicked folks out there, people that never knew him. He's talking to my people that are called by my name. Those are the people that were going to need revival. This morning, you know, to be called by God's name is a good thing. It's a great thing. It's a privilege. But this morning, it is not going to be the thing that saves you, my friend. To be called a Christian or a Mennonite or a follower of Jesus Christ, whatever terminology there, it is not going to help you if you don't actually have a for real and genuine walk with the Lord. It's very possible that we can do that. We can live, we can have a name that we live, but we're actually dead. That's Jesus' words, I believe, to the church at Sardis in Revelation 3. I pulled from this verse here this morning five things that I believe will be elements of true revival, and I don't necessarily have them in a specific order. First of all, I have God will be exalted. God will be exalted. You know, when you think of something that is restored, think about the things that people restore today. Maybe it's an old tractor, an old car. Maybe it's not in every case, but many times, especially if it's a nice job, it's a job well done, a restoration that's well done, people will wonder, well, who did that? Who did the work? Who fixed that up? Looks great. They don't typically ask, you know, well, when did that Model M John Deere restore itself? Or something like that. They don't ask that. We all know it doesn't happen that way. Things don't just restore themselves. The work typically points to a person, or maybe it's more than one person, who did the work of restoration. And that's how it is, I believe, when God does a work in your life and mine, a work of revival in your life and mine. People looking on should be pointed to the one who did the work. Who did the work? And my life and yours should be pointing people, should be attracting people to the one who is the master restorer. One who is master at restoring people who are ruined by sin. And he takes those people and restores them, gives them a new and eternal life. God should be the one exalted. Never myself. You know, God's work of restoration in my life wasn't because I somehow had something to do with it. I somehow restored myself. Not at all. It should point to Jesus Christ. Does my life point to him? Secondly, I have sin is forsaken. Sin is forsaken. You know, there can be revival only when people turn from their wicked way, as it says here. God is exalted. Sin and Satan are forsaken. There will be repentance. Sin confessed and forsaken. You know, God doesn't save people in sin. He saves people from sin. There will be a change of direction. Confessing and forsaking is making a U-turn and going the other way. It's not confessing and continuing on in the same direction. That's really not a confession at all, we know. But it's forsaking. It's turning from the wicked way. That is a part of true revival. You know, as I thought of our studies in Judges here, not too long ago we studied, one of them was Gideon there. You know, they had to throw out the idols, first of all. They had to get rid of Baal before they turned to God. God's not going to do shares with another god. He's not going to have the altar for Baal and the altar for him side by side. Of course, we don't worship Baal today, but any other idols in your life, God won't do shares. It's either all or none. Sin and Satan need to be forsaken in true revival. Thirdly, I have simply humility. Humility is part of true revival. And I know that's a parallel maybe with the first two points of God being exalted and sin put down, and myself as well needs to be put down. I need to humble myself. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, then I will hear. You know, it sounds so simple. And it is really. It is simple. But what a big deal it is to the old self that we all have. You know, it means to admit that I was wrong. I was going the wrong way. I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I was going the right way, but I was going the wrong way. Us men especially, we hate to admit that. But our old self, all of us, it hates to admit that. But that's what God needs from you and from me. A humble heart that says, God, I need you because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm getting it wrong. I need your help in my life. God won't revive a proud heart. It just doesn't. It just doesn't go. You know, humility, it's such a simple thing. But you know, we as people struggle so hard with it. And we might as well just be honest enough to admit as God's people that we continue to battle with it in our own, all through our Christian life. And the pride just makes a mess, a real mess of things when it comes in among us as God's people. Let's keep humility in its place. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, the last part of that verse, very fitting here. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. God needs humble people for his work, for a work of revival. Fourthly, I put these together, prayer and seeking God's face. Maybe they could be two different points as well. Prayer and seeking after God are a part of true revival. Calling upon God, Lord, what will you have me to do? Seeking after God. You know, we search. We are willing to search for what is valuable to us. You know, if I lose my wallet or my phone, I'm willing to invest some time looking for that. Searching for it. I work pretty hard in an effort to find it. Sometimes we can just spend a lot of time looking for those lost things and never do find them. But you can be assured this morning that when you search for God, when you sincerely search for God and His direction in your life, that you will find. You'll find that. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." That's a promise. God won't evade you if you're searching for him with all your heart. He won't run away. He won't abandon the sincere seeker. On the other hand, I believe if you are searching for everything else but God in your life, God may just let you go after what you're searching for. It's a terrible place to be. But he may still try to get you to see how futile those things are for fulfillment. But God's not going to push himself into your life. It's those who seek after him. And you know, really, there's no credit to us. I think the Bible tells us, I believe it does, it tells us it's only because God draws us that we even want to seek after him. So it's really all to God's glory and not to our hard efforts at all in any way. Search for God in your life. Continue to seek his will in prayer. I believe if you and if we're seeking to be led and filled this week, I believe God will be faithful in doing just that. Number five, I have healing, restoration, and cleansing are a part of revival. That's what God promises to do here. He says, if you come in humility, seeking me, turning from your wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive your sin and heal your land. That's a promise. You know, we can do everything else right, perhaps, But you know, only God does the work of revival. Only God does the work of revival in the heart of man. We don't, and I think I mentioned this already, we don't somehow revive ourselves. We don't somehow clean ourselves up. That's God's part. That's what He does. It's only when we come to Him surrendered, broken, and in humility, seeking Him, that God can do that work, a work of restoration and healing. And the sins that separated us from God, He says, I'll forgive them. And through Christ, those sins can be washed away, and the Bible tells us, remembered no more. And we can be not only forgiven sinners, but restored as saints of God. It's a wonderful work of restoration that God does, that only God can do. Back to kind of where we started here, thinking about, do I need revival? In Mark 2:16, I won't turn there. We have the story of the Pharisees. Back to the Pharisees there. They wondered, they were asking Jesus' disciples, why's he eating with all these sinners for? These publicans and sinners, the bad people, the people they would never want to associate, much less eat with. Jesus was with them, eating with them. And this is his reply in Mark 2:17. It says, He said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I had to think, is there anyone that would fit into that category that Jesus mentioned there of being righteous? I believe outside of Christ. No one fits that category. The Bible tells us there's none righteous. Not anyone. Those Pharisees, they needed healing as much as anyone else. The people that were obviously living in sin, they needed healing. Everyone knew they needed healing. The Pharisees needed healing too. But they didn't know it. They thought they had arrived. They thought they were good. They thought they were the righteous. They didn't need the doctor. Jesus wanted to do a work in their lives as well. With the work in their hearts. And I believe history would tell us that some Pharisees did come to Christ. And so I just want to leave that challenge with us, that thought with us. Is my self-righteousness keeping Christ from doing a work of revival in my life? And let me not have an attitude today and coming into a week of revivals that I'm all set, that I'm good. I don't need a revival, but to rather have a heart that is open to what God would work in it, both today and in the coming days. I'll close this morning with a verse from Psalm 85. It's verse 6. He says, I believe he's directing this question to God. He says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I trust this morning that would be our prayer as we go from here and through this week, that God would revive us, that we'd ask God to revive us again. God bless you all. Let's pray.